Good evening. Blessings. Blessings. Beautiful weather, right? My. Way too good. Way too good. Thank you, Jesus. And I was hoping it would rain. Well, it did rain a little bit Sunday, but not enough. Amen. Yeah. We had fun anyway, didn't we? Amen. We talked about David, and then we talked about Gideon Sunday. And then when I get back, because Leah and I will be gone Sunday, and Pastor Art Henderson Jr. will be here on Sunday. And next Wednesday, Pastor Art will be here. And then we'll be back for the following Sunday. We'll talk about Jehoshaphat. I love that name. We should have named Jonathan Jehoshaphat.
Is everything on the Van Cuter already?
Everything. Yeah. Should have named my son Jehoshaphat. I love that. That's a great name. He was a great king. Anyway, let's start with a word of prayer. Believe the Lord. Caroline, will you open our time in prayer, please?
Precious Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks, Lord, and thank you, Lord, for the guidance, Lord, throughout the week, Lord. We just ask, Lord, that your presence be here with us tonight, that you open up our ears, open up our hearts, and put into us, Lord, what you would have us to know. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Remember, we mentioned some time ago that when we deal with the Word of God, from the beginning, Genesis 1:1, till the end, Revelation 22:21, we're dealing with God's plan of salvation. And God picked a people in which to execute His plan of salvation. Adam was created by God, but Adam wasn't created a Jew. When do we have the Jews?
Abraham.
When God selected, did God name them Jews? No. What did God name them?
Israelites.
God's people. Another name for them were the people of the covenant, because they were designed and they were commissioned by a covenant of Almighty God. So in order to understand prophecy especially, and in order to understand God's timeline, secondly, I have to understand that God is dealing primarily with the Israelites and with His covenant people, because they're the vehicle by which Jesus will come. And if Jesus doesn't come, we are nothing, right? That's the end of it all. So, if that's the case, if the Bible is about the Israelites, then why in the world are we included?
Because they turned away from their God.
Yes. And what, something over here?
Yeah, I was starting to say because we accepted Christ.
We accepted Christ, but we were given the opportunity to accept Christ because the Jews, the Israelites, I'm going to use that word because I don't like the other word. The Israelites, and neither does Peter, the Israelites turned away from God. They rejected the Messiah. Right?
First to be last and the last to be first.
Yeah. They rejected the Messiah, and that gave us a chance. Now, did God know that they would reject the Messiah?
Yeah.
Of course He did. When did He know it?
When He made Adam and Eve.
Huh?
When He made Adam and Eve.
No.
Before the beginning of time.
Yeah. He never did not know it. The answer is, He never did not know it. Because He knows everything, and He never had a beginning. Now try to wrap your brain around that one, and see if it won't blow a fuse. That is a tough one to figure out. So, God knew exactly what was happening, and He included us. But at the end, He ceases to include us, and he goes back to dealing exclusively with the Jews. Will the Gentiles, with the Israelites, will the Gentiles be included in some of those dealings? Yes. By overflow. But His primary purpose is dealing with them. Now, we have to go into the book of Daniel. And if you have your Bibles, we have to go into the book of Daniel, and we have to look at what?
Daniel
What do we look at the book of Daniel to understand end times? Anybody know? No. What do we look at in the book of Daniel to understand the end times? Or to understand God's timetable? Okay? Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Remember? And in the dream, he dreamed of what? What did he dream of in the dream?
A statue.
Correct. Okay. And what did the statue look like?
Different metals.
Yeah. Okay. Now let me find it. I'm going to find it here in a second.
Daniel 2.
Yeah. Daniel 2? Is it way back there?
Nebuchadnezzar dreamed.
Yeah. Well, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed a dream 1. And it was, let me see if that's the one.
3. Image of gold.
Yeah. The image of gold. Yes. Okay. So this is what he is. David answered in the presence of the king. Verse 27. The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Okay?
Alright, where'd you go? 227.
227,
not
327. 227. I'm sorry. As for thee, O king, as to thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter? So God comes to Nebuchadnezzar, he gives him a dream of things that are going to happen in the future. Right? He that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living. I love Daniel. I'm not going to take any credit, though he deserved all the credit. Right? He says, I'm not going to take any, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. So he has a great image, which brightness was excellent. Verse 31, stood before thee. The form thereof was terrible. The image's head was of fine gold. His breast and his arms of silver. His belly and his thighs of brass. His legs of iron. His feet part iron and part clay. Thou sawest till there a stone was cut without hands. I love this. Which smote the image upon the feet that were of clay, iron and clay, and brake them in pieces. Okay, now we've got to have the interpretation in verse 36. That is the picture. And I think I gave you, in some of your notes somewhere, a picture of that, right? Okay? So if those of you that brought your notes with you have it. This is the dream. And we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Isn't it interesting? Daniel says, we will tell the interpretation. Who's we?
Daniel and God.
Yes, Daniel and the Holy Ghost. Yeah, Daniel and God. Okay? Thou, O king, art a king of kings. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. So the gold head is which empire?
Babylon.
Babylon. Considered by world history, probably the greatest empire to have ever ruled. May have been rivaled a little bit by Genghis Khan and by Alexander the Great, but it's considered not to measure up. The wealth they had was incredible. Where did they get their wealth, by the way? Sidebar?
From the countries they conquered.
Yes, they took it. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, And another third kingdom of brass, which shall rule over all the earth. So we have the belly and the thighs. We have the breast and the arms, which are the fourth empire. It's breast and arms, so it's a twin empire. It's the empire of Medo-Persia. The Medes and the Persians. Remember, we have the story of them when he was thrown into the lion's den. The edict could not be changed. The king of the Medes and the Persians wanted to change the edict. He who prays to any other god besides me will be thrown into the den of lions. He was coerced. He was deceived. And he signed it. And when he realized it was against Daniel, his heart broke. In fact, he didn't sleep all night long. Daniel did. I kind of think that would have been cool, don't you? You think it would have been cool? Remember, they didn't have any heat. It might have been, but they cleaned themselves up. They're cats. So they're always licking themselves and cleaning themselves. So I don't think it would have been that bad. Besides, you got to understand, not everything was real clean back then anyway. So he curls up and goes sound asleep between the lions. Nice and warm, nice and cuddly. And the king doesn't sleep all night. Comes in the morning, remember? Oh, has the God you serve been able to save you? Oh, you betcha. You betcha. And someone said to me, but you don't understand, those lions weren't hungry. That's why they didn't eat Daniel. Well, it says that he grabbed the princes that had coerced the king and threw them, and they never touched the ground. They were torn to pieces before they touched the ground. Yummy, yummy, yummy. So that was Medes and the Persians. So what is the belly and thighs of brass then? Greece. Alexander the Great. Probably considered in world history as the greatest military tactician to ever have lived. He was very young. How old was he when he died?
30.
And he conquered everything there was to conquer by then. So that's the Grecian Empire. And then the legs of iron were the sixth Roman Empire. The third was of brass, which was Greece. And the sixth was a world empire of iron, legs of iron. What was that? What were the legs of iron? Rome. The Roman Empire. Had two sides of it. Did it have two sides back when Nebuchadnezzar dreamed the dream? No, because it hadn't existed yet. What were the two sides? East and west. Remember? Uncanny how perfect God is, isn't it? Hits it right on the money. And then the last one, he says, the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And then he saw the feet, the toes, part potter's clay, part iron, the kingdom shall be divided, and there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. The toes of the feet were part of the iron and part clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. What is this empire? The revived Roman Empire. So Daniel gives us what's going to happen in the future. Now, we've seen it all happen. Have we seen the revived Roman Empire as 10?
Not yet.
Because the common market is more than 10, is it not? But it's dwindling. England's left, right? So it's dwindling. So when we understand what God is saying, he's saying, I take my people, my covenant people. That's important to remember. One of these days I'm going to do a study on covenants because it is fascinating. But when God takes his covenant people, he says, I must revert back to deal with them because they are my people by my choice. Remember, they did not choose. Did Abraham choose to be chosen by God to leave Ur of the Chaldees and go to Palestine? No, God singled him out. The Bible does not tell us why. Gives us some hints when you see his character and the way he acted. But it does not tell us why he singled him out. Why Abraham and why not somebody else? He chose him. God sees the heart. God does not see the outward appearance. Amen? And so God saw his heart. And then again he talks about this in Daniel chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Oh, don't I love this Bible? Thank you, Xiao Ying. My, I'll kiss your feet when you get married. I know, that's why. You can say that and there's no danger of you ever having to do it. That was my father saying. Okay. I saw after this, 7:7, in night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. I considered the horns. Behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, mouth speaking great things. Don't know exactly how that's going to happen. Nobody does. Nobody really understands the total part of what's going to happen here. Because this will have to be seen in order for you to know. Now, those that plan to go through the tribulation period will see it. Those of us that don't plan won't see it. We'll get out of here. So there's no reason to see it, but we know that the Antichrist is going to come to power ruling in the revised Roman Empire. Where does he center his government? Jerusalem's part of it, but the other part is Rome. So again, Rome becomes the center of attention. See? He said, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days, glory be to God, did sit, whose garment was white as snow, hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, his wheels as burning fire. I love the imagery because these guys see something that they can't describe. So they got to describe it in the terms they know. And then those that translated the word of God from the original Hebrew that Daniel was written in into Latin originally and then into English, they translate it just as Daniel says it's going to be. See? Fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and the judgment was set and the books were opened. Now keep that in mind. Behold, then it came a voice, a great words which a horn spake. I beheld till the beast was slain, his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. What's a burning flame?
Lake of fire.
Lake of fire. Yep. So the beast is whom? Antichrist. Correct. So keep in mind, what God is doing here, he's coming back to the original purpose of dealing with the covenant people. And Daniel gives us the prophetic timeline. Very important to understand. You can't separate Daniel from the book of Revelation. You separate Daniel from the book of Revelation and you are, of all people, most confused. Can't do it because Daniel gives us a timeline. Nobody else does. He refers to a week, and we know that to be interpreted as a 7-year period. Now that's going to be the duration of the Antichrist worldwide government. There are some that mistakenly say the Antichrist comes to power in the middle of the tribulation. Wrong. Daniel tells us he comes to power at the beginning of the tribulation.
He breaks his covenant in the middle.
Yes, he breaks his covenant with Israel, his peace treaty with Israel in the middle. Okay? It's going to be a worldwide government. We don't know. We don't know if we're just talking about the revived Roman Empire and Palestine, or if we're talking about the entire globe. Because remember, the world in Daniel's day was reduced. Correct? What was the world in Daniel's day?
Middle East.
The Babylonian Empire. That was the world. That was the world. That was everything. Remember, Daniel calls Nebuchadnezzar king of kings. Question, was he the only king that existed in the world in those days? No. But as far as they were concerned, there was nothing else besides the Roman Empire. Now, kind of like our history, you know, Columbus thought that the world was flat. He thought you could get to India. He thought you could get east by going west. Can you? Yes, you sure can. You sure can. And so he set out. He never set out to come to Hispaniola. That wasn't his purpose. He wanted to go where?
India.
He wanted to go to the east. That's where the spices were. That's where the riches were. They had no idea that the Aztec and the Incas and the Mayans were as wealthy as they were. Nobody knew, because they didn't know that existed. The empire was what they saw. Okay? So Daniel's 70th week is what we call the tribulation period. And it starts when the Antichrist assumes power, and the first thing he does is sign a peace treaty with Israel. What's going to give him world dominance, it's going to make him a hero, is he brings peace. And that's what the world's clamoring for today. We are so set up for this, aren't we? We're really set up for this. So he brings peace, and when he brings peace, this causes everybody to, wow, this guy's something else. Is his peace going to be real peace?
No.
No, because he's going to rule with a rod of iron. You're going to accept him or else. Right? Because the Bible says he makes... Yes, Jenny?
His peace is really just with Israel, while the rest of the world is still...
He makes war to subdue the rest of the world. He's going to want everybody to do what he tells them to do. It's going to be interesting how the United States will fit in.
Right.
I'll get Peter to tell me when he finally gets there. We'll go down by the river of life and you can explain what happened. Oh dear, I'm sorry. 3.5 years, right, of tribulation is going to be a time of peace and safety, the first 3.5 years. It's not going to be what everybody thinks it's going to be, wildly difficult. That's why when I studied this and when I was taught this and I learned this a long time ago, listening to arguments about it was fun. We call the first 3.5 years the tribulation period, and the last 3.5 years the great tribulation period. That's how they divided it back in those days. So in the middle of the tribulation period, he breaks the peace with Israel. Matthew 24:15. Abomination of desolation. Set up in the temple. We don't know. So we know the temple's going to exist, right? We don't have an abomination unless we have a temple. So the temple is going to exist. So that means the temple has to be rebuilt. Now that's an interesting study that you can do. Israel's all ready to do it. Yes?
When I was in Israel, we were taken into this great big place, and there were signs up all over, no cameras allowed. And it had all the temple stuff that was made and ready for the temple.
Yep. They tell us, archaeologists, I knew I'd get it sooner or later, archaeologists tell us that the mosque on the Dome of the Rock isn't on the site of Solomon's temple. I keep saying David's temple because David is the one that wanted to build it, but Solomon's temple, it's not on the site. They can put Solomon's temple right up there and it's not going to cause any problem. None whatsoever at all. Except the Arabs will get a little bent out of shape. But I think, you know how my mind likes to run? How many know that? Just run. I think the Arabs really know in their heart of hearts they can't beat Israel. They've tried and they've tried and they've tried and they can't do it. If the United States would get out of the way, this would all be done over there that started in October. It'd be all done if the United States get out of the way. But the abomination of desolation is set up in the temple. We don't know what it is. There's speculation that he offers a pig on the altar. I don't know. And that agrees with Daniel 9:27. And then Jesus proceeds in Matthew to describe the last 3.5 years as great tribulation. Matthew 24:21. Somebody have that? I got to get those NIVs out of there and get a different Bible in that pew, but I don't have them out yet. Matthew 24:21.
And there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be.
Yep. So it's going to be nasty, isn't it? I'd say that's going to be pretty bad. If Jesus says it's going to be bad like that, then you know it's going to be bad, right? Then in verses 29 through 31, read verses 29 through 31. Yes.
So after the next verse that follows, that has to do with verse 23.
Pardon me?
Verse 23.
Yes.
So I want to know, is it, if those things are not being cut short, no one who survives or for the sake of his life, those days will be shortened. I want to know whether at that time
the elect?
Yeah, the elect, the Christian.
Any time he's talking about the elect, he's talking about the covenant people. They're the elect.
But will they still be on earth?
Yeah. They don't accept the part of the covenant people, the Israelis, the Israelites, that accept Jesus as Messiah prior to the rapture, they'll go. The ones that don't, won't go. So they'll be here.
Okay, so since the deal they got shut, I want to know whether they will believe afterwards.
Pardon me?
Will they believe after the
preaching? Yes, yes. Remember, this is what happens. The Antichrist comes to power. Now it's interesting, he's called Antichrist. Right? So he's a Christ that looks like a Christ, talks like a Christ, acts like a Christ, but he is not the Christ. Okay? I personally believe he'll be the devil incarnate. Jesus was God incarnate, and the devil says, I can do that. So he comes as a man, possesses a man, becomes the Antichrist, signs a peace treaty with Israel, and they proclaim him to be their Messiah. See? They're not going to sign a peace treaty with anyone that's anti-God. They're not going to do that. They do that because he brings peace. What did the apostles think, the disciples, the 12 disciples, what did they think Jesus had come to do?
To
deliver them from Rome and bring what? Peace. Right? So here comes this man. He takes up power in the revived Roman Empire, the European Union. Right? He brokers a peace with Israel that is astounding, blows everybody's mind. And peace comes to Israel, something that everybody's tried to do and nobody's been successful at it. And he does it. And not just that, he gets mortally wounded and he rises from the dead. You know how we run after signs and wonders now? Right. You have God move in Pensacola and you have churches in New York getting buses together and running down to Pensacola. We love to run after that kind of stuff. Right? So, they then think he's their Messiah. How do I know that? Because I know that, you see, you can't just take, because God in his infinite wisdom doesn't just mark everything out. Now, take two steps to the right, and then you'll take three steps forward, and then you'll rise at a point and go four steps to the left. He doesn't do that. It's not a map that he's given us. Right? So you have to take this the broad view of what you see and put together what happens. The reason I know that they think he's the Messiah, because when he does the abomination, they desert him and then they accept the Messiah. And God comes down to defend them personally. That's the great tribulation. Because now the Antichrist is going to vent, the devil is going to vent his anger. Can the devil get at God? No! So what's the next best thing for him to get at? God's people. See, you and me, we're gone. But the Israelites during the tribulation period. Because God reverts back to dealing with his people. Because in the beginning, he wanted his people to accept the Messiah. He came to his own, the Bible says, right? And they did not accept him. And that has been a difficult thing for God. And because God chooses and intends for his plan to be carried out. In this case, it was stopped for some 2,000 years. And it's just hanging in the balance until he reverts back to deal with the Israeli people again. Glory to God.
Do the scholars who believe that he's coming back as some kind of a minister or a holy man?
Who?
The Antichrist.
There's some people try to describe what he's going to be. Nobody really knows what he's going to look like.
No, I don't mean looking. I mean, what's he, is his mouth going to spew holy words, the Bible, to convince?
What did the devil do when he tempted Jesus? The devil. Just because the Antichrist comes, the devil's not going to stop and do anything different, because he can't. See? That's why the Bible constantly tells you and I, we need to study, we need to know how the devil operates, because in knowing how the devil operates, we have the upper hand. That's why coming to church, that's why coming to Bible studies, that's why reading your Bible and studying is sometimes so difficult, because the devil doesn't want us doing it. Because he's exposed in the Word of God. And he doesn't want to be exposed. He's the father of what? Yeah, and the father of darkness. You don't see anything in darkness, right? Men love darkness because their deeds are evil. So he doesn't want to be exposed, and God in his word has exposed him so that you and I can be aware. In Spanish is maquinaciones, which gives you the idea of strategy. God intends for us to be so aware that when it happens, we know it's the devil and not God. Part of discerning of spirits. But the discerning of spirits, when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, deal more with what people are saying and doing than it deals with what the devil's doing. We know what the devil's doing, and that is of the devil. If it lines up with what the Word of God says, this is the way he does things. That's why we have to study, study, study. Yes, Peter.
Revelation 13:5 says about the Antichrist, and there was given unto him a mouth.
Yes.
Speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him.
Yes.
42 months.
Yes.
Not preaching. He's
no, no.
Blasphemy.
Oh yeah, he's a mouthy, good for nothing. Oh yeah, but remember, that's the last 3.5 years. That's not the first 3.5 years. So the first 3.5 years, he's going to be what the devil is. Deceitful.
So it's going to be a honeymoon.
A lying wonder. A lying wonder. James and I were discussing it because he asked me if I watched the debate. I said, why would I want to watch the debate? Nothing that Biden's going to say is going to be the truth. He's been lying ever since he was in college. He's not all of a sudden going to have an epiphany and stop lying. He's proven all through his career that he cannot distinguish between what is false and what is truth. He can't do it. It's beyond his ability. So once you know that, you can identify everything he says. And you know. It's the same with the devil. He can't tell the truth. He can't say anything positive unless it's to what? Deceive. Isn't that what he did with Jesus? Now, it's positive. Cast yourself down. Doesn't your book say? Now, the Gospels don't put it that way, but I know how he said it. The book you wrote. The words that came from the Holy Ghost. This is your word. And it says he'll give his angels charge over you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So you can jump down and nothing will happen. Right? How did Jesus answer? Can't tempt the Lord your God. Right? You can't do something just because God says you can do something. That would be the dumbest thing on planet Earth, wouldn't it? Right? Remember the stories of history of men trying to learn to fly? Right? So, have to understand. So God in then starts to deal again. Man, I gotta hurry. I just go too slow. Jesus helps us understand the meaning of Daniel 9:27. Now, the tribulation is also described, believe it or not, in Joel 3. In Joel 3. Now I'm in this the one of the rapture. If you want your notes, the rapture. Now, it's interesting because I went into some of these minor prophets, and it's uncanny how they jump on the bandwagon. Why? What was the purpose of the minor prophets prophesying? What was the general purpose of the prophets prophesying in the Old Testament? Let me put it that way.
Warning to repent.
Warning to repent and return to God. Right? Judgment is coming. You best repent. That was their sum total of their message over and over again. And why? Why didn't God just let Israel go? In that purpose of the minor prophets and the major prophets, you see what is happening in the tribulation period. God wants his people back. Right? Chapter 3. Behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations, will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Everything is for Israel. We are a byline. See? There's only one person in this building tonight that sits in this prestige position of being God's people. I'm God's people by faith. Peter's God's people by birth. I'm God's people by adoption. Peter's God's people by birth. Which is better?
Birth.
Yeah. Birth.
You know what all the Jews say?
Huh?
You know what all the Jews always say?
What do they say?
God, next time pick someone else.
It's why?
Why? Look at history.
They rejected him.
It's a joke.
They rejected him. Yeah, I know it's a joke, but it's a great point, Peter, because they rejected him, and that's the calamity that has fallen on him.
Yeah, they made a covenant of blood.
Yeah, yeah. Just like this, what is it, Burl?
Yeah.
Burl?
Yeah.
That's because nature's rebelling against God. That's the reason for that. Isaiah's very clear about that. When man forsakes God's commandments, nature turns against man.
Yeah, hurricanes are a year, so.
Yeah, yeah. And we've been rejecting God since when?
Yep.
Since forever.
But does this mean Peter's got to go back to Israel?
No, no. God never said that they had to return. God said they would return. He never said they had to return.
He said he gathers them back.
Yes, he gathers them back. That's going to be then. That's not now. That's during the tribulation period. That's at the end. Many are going to rush back during the time of the first 3.5 years. Why? Because there's peace. Everything's fantastic.
Right, but Peter's still going to be here, so does he have to go back to Israel?
Well, he'll have to make that choice. See, Peter, I did not say that. I did not say that.
Okay.
It's okay. It's okay. It's all okay. It's all right. It's all right. It's okay. Yeah. See, are you getting the picture? In order to understand what is happening during this 7-year period, I must understand the purpose of the 7-year period. And the 7-year period has one purpose only. To bring Israel back to God. Now in that, God's going to use a pretty good whip. Anybody seen a bull whip?
Deanna Jones.
Yeah, we learned to use it. We had 3 of them in boarding school, and we'd roll them up and put them on our thing, and then when we unroll them, snap! And we were told, don't ever hit anybody with that, because it will slice you just like a scalpel. It's the niftiest thing on planet Earth. Nah, and it makes a noise like a clap of thunder. Well, I loved it. I loved it. Felt powerful when I had it. And that's what God's going to do. He's going to get out the bullwhip. He's going to crack it. And Israel's going to run back to him. The middle of the tribulation period.
After 1948.
They returned to the land that was given to them. That's one thing. That's one thing. The land is one thing. The covenant is another thing. Now the land and the covenant includes the land, but they're 2 different things. See? Because when they return to God, they become God's people again. They're still God's people, but they're not God's people in heart. Remember, all the time God talked about their heart. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Right? Told us to love our neighbor as ourselves, but he told us to love God with everything we are. See, he says And they shall, and they have cast lots for my people, have given a boy for a harlot, and have sold a girl for wine, that they might drink. That's talking about what has happened down through history. Right? No people have been mistreated as much as the Jews. Well, I can't say none, because there have been others that have been treated very poorly. The Armenians, by the Turks. History has some real nasty stories of how people have been treated. Yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Sidon, and all the coasts of Palestine? Will ye render me a recompense? And you can go on and read down through, because ye have taken my silver and my gold. You have carried into your temples my godly pleasant things. We saw Belshazzar. What happened to him because he mistreated God's stuff? See? And then he goes on all the way through that. Tenfold destruction of the armies of the Antichrist in verse 13. Talks about it. Tenfold proclamation of the mobilization of war in verses 9 through 12. You can read it when you get home. It was great. And then you get verse 18. And God comes back to the same thing. It shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with water, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim. Ho, 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 ho. What's he saying? I'm the God of restoration. I'm going to put it all back the way I intended it to be. See, that's why I'm not so bent out of shape about what's happening in Washington, D.C. Because God has a way of putting everything back into shape. Just the way He wants it. See? Egypt shall be desolation. Edom shall be a desolate wilderness. For the violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. So yes, Peter, they have been mistreated. God chose somebody else. But God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. And He does. But Judah shall dwell forever. Ha ha! And Jerusalem from generation to generation. Now we know Judah doesn't dwell forever, right? We know Jerusalem doesn't dwell from generation to generation, right? Because this whole world gets burnt up, according to Peter, right? Elements will melt with fervent heat, Peter said. But then he makes a new Jerusalem, and a new heaven, and a new earth. I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion. Ha ha! Glory to God. You didn't know that was there, did you? Just fantastic. Jumped right out at me. Trouble is, I should have brought my Amplified Bible because I got it all marked up here. And this one's new, so it's not all marked up yet. Okay. Well, we got to stop. We got to get done here. Now, Daniel 11 through 40, 11, 40 through 45 describes the military maneuvers that will occur leading to the Battle of Armageddon. Now, we know that at the end of the tribulation there will be a battle. Why? Why? Yeah, God's protected Israel through the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And the Antichrist says, this can't happen. I'm going to destroy Jerusalem. Because God's been hiding the bulk of the people where? Petra. They flee to the wilderness and God hides them. People used to ask me when I was in high school, you going to fight? And I said, yeah, I'm going to fight. And then I'd ask him a question. You going to run? No, I'm not going to run. Well, how are you going to catch me? And they run. The Antichrist has to chase them. And then he decides, I'm going to attack Jerusalem. I'm going to destroy this. Just like Nebuchadnezzar destroyed them, just like the Medes and the Persians destroyed them, just like Greece took over, just like Rome destroyed them. I'm going to do all that. I'm going to destroy them. And God says, I've had enough. And we return with him. Glory to God. It's going to be fun. Going to be the funnest part of everything right here and there. Okay? Zechariah 12, 1 through 14, 7. So it's two chapters. Zechariah 12, Zechariah 13, and then the first seven verses of Zechariah 14. Read that passage when you get home. That's talking about the second coming of Christ and the tribulation period. See? But the best description is given through Revelation 6 through 19. And we're going to get into that later. Any questions?
You said Israel was to reclaim the land.
Yeah.
Before this tribulation period starts.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering what that land is. We know Gaza for sure, right?
Yeah. The Golan Heights that they've given away goes clear up into part of the southern part of Lebanon. You can see it if you have a real good Bible. And this is a real good Bible. Thank you, Xiao Yang. What's that? What are you saying? What's that? Huh? You making fun of me, Leah? No, this doesn't. This isn't as good a Bible as I thought it was. It doesn't have any maps. It doesn't have any maps. But if you go into a real good Bible, they'll have a series of maps. Thompson Chain is fantastic. Series of maps, and it will show you what the Divinic Empire was of Israel. And that's what God gave them. Okay? When Joshua divided up the land to the tribes, that's what God gave them.
So the allotments to 12 tribes?
Yes. Whatever the 12 tribes were.
Got it.
Okay? Questions? Comments? Discussion? Yes, Xiao Yang.
So, when you were reading Daniel 2, verse 43, it says, as you saw the iron mixed with soft clay, so they will mix one another in marriage, but they will not hold together, just as I am. What does that mean? Who does they refer to?
The people of that kingdom, the Romans.
Remember.
People? Yeah.
He was talking about all kingdoms.
Yeah, well, the kingdom is people. The kingdom is people. The 10 toes are the 10 nations of the revived Roman Empire that will make up the revived Roman Empire. And you don't have an empire if you don't have people, right? And God always talks about people marrying and giving in marriage and procreation and all that stuff when he's talking about nations and development of nations.
So it said there's still going to be division? They are not going to become one nation? Is that?
Oh no, they're one. They're one. But you and I both know, we know, that sooner or later nations don't get along unless there's a powerful leader that rules over them, which will be the Antichrist. So the 10 toes may start out in good harmony, but it doesn't last forever. Let me read that again. Read that again. Which you said Daniel what?
2:43.
Daniel 2:43. 43, 42, 43, 44, 45. Daniel 2. All right. Here it is. Daniel 2:42?
43.
Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. The kings, represented by the ten toes, will seek to mingle themselves with the seed of men. That is, they will seek to populate and to be popular with their subjects. They'll want to be applauded and recognized by their subjects and rule more or less by their own wishes. The result will be that people will rebel and you're going to have conflict. That's why it talks about the Antichrist waging war in order to keep his kingdom together. See? The clay is broken up and the iron becomes predominant. Absolute monarchs finally emerge from this mixture and they will be the true kings. And then a beast comes up after three of them are defeated and he becomes king over all the ten. See? Read the next verse. These kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as I saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it break down the pieces of iron, brass, clay, silver, and gold, and the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation sure up. So then you have to understand what he's saying here. See? The stone breaks up this kingdom, and the Messiah rules over it all. But before that can happen, the Antichrist rules. Fake Messiah. Imposter. See, the days of the ten kings are symbolized by those ten toes. See? And the ten horns later on in Daniel. And that's where you see it in Daniel 7, what he's talking about here in Daniel 2. You see it further developed in Daniel 7. Why God doesn't put it all together in a nice, neat package, I don't know. You can ask him when you get there. Okay? Does that help? Might not help. Helps me.
It means people, right?
Yeah. Always kingdoms of people. Always. We think of them as land boundaries. The Word of God never thinks of them as land boundaries. They're always kingdoms.
People.
Yeah, people. When we talked Sunday at Gideon, there were at least three nations that came against him, right? Edom, Amalek, and Kadam. But they were people, even though they had a certain area. Edom, what was Edom? Son of Lot. Right? So, other questions?